can call you Betty. Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al. A man walks down the street. He says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and all my nights are so long.
Where's we should get the words for this and that little segment right there, the first part of the song. Have a contest which the three of us can sing the first part of it. So it comes in, and then you gotta sing.
So you mean like who can memorize the words?
Or
who
can sing it the best? You have the words in front of you, and be my bodyguard, I can be your lost pal.
I think we could do that.
You get the words on a piece of paper, but I don't know if Mark can.
Yeah, I don't know. Maul's not really in the
mood.
Let's
just play the song.
Today.
Yeah, he is just.
Maul hates this song.
Yeah, I think A, he hates
every
song.
Day.
He's really not happy. Although he controls the music all the time. We never really ask for much. I mean, it's one request. Can you play Call Me Al every single
30 times
intro
in
today? Yeah, it'll get really annoying by 6 o'clock. It's kind of borderline annoying already, but new audience all the time.
That's your favorite thing to do is ask the guest if like they're into the song. You always lead in with that.
And Davis Love was like not having it.
He's
like,
he goes, no, I listen like to rocker country.
Yeah. But he didn't like Brian Burke me. He didn't just shut me down and say no.
No, what was the Brian Burke again? Can you?
That was about seeing Copperfield in Vegas. Had you ever seen David Copperfield in Vegas?
No.
You're lucky you didn't get a flush from Davis Love.
Yeah, I guess
he's
it's
like,
a bit of a gamble.
He's like, I'm going to come on this show and this guy's asking me about Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel?
Well, I would hope that, you know, they're willing to have some fun with it.
Yeah.
My buddy, he's got a pretty good gig. I mean, Davis said he moved to Sea Island, and that's where my buddy lives. And he called me, and he's like, man, I joined a great golf course. And I'm like, oh, yeah? Because we always go golfing, go on golf trips. He's like, Davis Love's here. Zach Johnson's here. Brant Snedeker. Lucas Glover. He goes, I play with these guys, Matt Kuchar, all the time. I'm like, so you just show up on a Sunday morning and tee it up? And he's like, yeah. And sure enough, I went down there. Davis Love, Brant Snedeker, Lucas Glover, and they're buddies. They all play. My buddy's a doctor, and he's a stick, too. Like, he shoots under par. Like, he's a plus two or three handicap, and he gets to go golf. Like, that's a pretty cool gig when you get to work all week, and then the weekend you go play golf. Not with losers that are shooting 125, tour players.
So would they be gambling?
Oh, they don't. I don't think they would play for free. It's not fun.
I don't know what that experience would be like to play with a great golfer. I feel like I'd get too nervous. Like every horrible shot, I'd go into like Chris Farley mode. Like,
well,
because
you're embarrassed.
Idiot.
Like I don't want to hit the shot around a tour player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I wouldn't even do it.
Well, you, of course, wouldn't do it. You've passed on opportunities to play Pebble Beach and St. Andrews, and you've just sat in the
cart. Pebble Beach. Yeah. But I walked Pebble Beach, and there was a guy in flip-flops who shot like a 72 that day. At one of my teammates that was with us. He was a really good player. So he walked me through it. He would say, like, I'm going to overshoot the hole and bring it back. And he would do it.
Put a little English on it.
It was unreal. But yeah, why would I embarrass myself like that?
Well, I mean, people do that all the time that love to play golf, but they're not very good at it.
Would you sit down at a campfire with Richie Sambora and start playing the guitar? Like,
no.
I got it, Richie. You know what?
No, of course not. But that's different. Like golf, like I would play guitar on my own. Like if I was just sitting around,
you'd be guitar guy.
Yeah, if you're playing golf, it's not like you actually are playing with Tiger Woods all the time. But
it's true.
I hear you. That is true. I mean, if you're sitting around a campfire and Santana's sitting there, and you're like, "Hey, take a lap. I've got it from here.
Right.
Listen to me play Old Man by Neil Young." Ray's coming up here in a moment, but it appears to be official. Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor will fight August 26th in Vegas. Done deal. Courtesy of Kevin Ioli from Yahoo. Done and finalized. Like, how do we feel about this? Because it's been kind of moving in this direction for a while. These are two big names. These are two.
I think it's fantastic, but if it's a 4-second fight, how good is that?
I don't see it being a 4-second fight, though. Because Mayweather, all he does is dance around. He never gets hit. Like, has Mayweather ever knocked anybody out?
Oh, I'm sure he has. Yeah, he definitely has. Remember, he had that controversial knockout a few years ago where the guy kind of stepped back and was waiting for the ref to point to him and say, hey, let's continue the fight, but it turned out the fight had never stopped, and Mayweather just popped him.
Right.
And he laid him out. He's fought 48, 49 times. No, he's got a bunch of knockouts.
It seems like he just dances around and wins on points.
Which is fine. It doesn't matter how you win, right?
But
you're not there for style.
I'm telling you right now that if McGregor, he's going to get disqualified because he's going to get tired of chasing this guy around, and he's going to somehow corner him and put an armbar on him or do something ridiculous or a kick by accident instinctually, and Mayweather is going to go down or something will happen. Like I just wonder, this ending well.
I do wonder how legitimate it's going to feel. Like, this kind of has a wrestling feel to it. Like, in Rocky III, was it, where Rocky fights Hulk Hogan at the charity event? Like, that's kind of what it feels like a little bit. Like, hey, let's take two big guys from two separate sports. And, yeah, they're both combat sports, but they are very different technically.
Right.
Obviously, MMA is very different than boxing. And, like, I cannot picture a scenario where Conor McGregor wins this fight. Like, Mayweather is way too good, way too tactical, way too quick, and McGregor's fighting out of his comfort zone. I mean, yeah, he can punch and he can box, and he's got a couple of months here to prepare, and I'm sure he has been preparing because I'm sure he's been aware for a number of months that this is where it's going.
Right.
Like, hey, this is going to be the biggest payday of your life. This will be the biggest stage you'll ever be on.
Yeah.
McGregor, the UFC, I'm curious to see what the UFC gets out of this, how Dana White is going to benefit from this, because they are going to try to get a piece of the pie. You can bank on it.
Right.
But you will never have a bigger moment in your life than fighting Floyd Mayweather in Vegas on August 26th.
And he's going to get some cash.
Oh, like, he's going to be making a fortune.
I
don't know what the numbers are. I'm sure the numbers will be revealed at some point, but I would think there is potential for these guys to make well over $100 million.
This is going
to
be a circus, too, because you know McGregor's going to just be a complete idiot leading up to it.
But they're both so hateable. That's the one thing I do wonder when it comes to actually marketing the fight, is usually you need a good guy and a bad guy. These guys are both bad guys for the most part.
Right.
All right, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Ray, will you be buying this Mayweather-McGregor fight on August 26th?
Yes, and I don't buy any.
So you'll get sucked into the hype?
Oh, absolutely. I think there's a jackass possibility here that you just have to tune in and see.
See, I agree with you, Ray, because I think at some point McGregor's going to get frustrated, and out of instinct he's going to kick him or do something ridiculous. I really do.
Just make a mental picture of what you're talking about. Like, you know, Mayweather's jabbing him and getting him a few times, and then he's too quick at some point, or, you know, because it's all stand-up, and then all of a sudden McGregor goes, screw this, bam.
Yeah.
And then you're like, ooh,
sweeps the leg.
Allowed.
He's going to sweep the leg, and that's it. Like,
if he comes out with the guy from Karate Kid in his corner, then you know there's something going on. He could sweep the leg.
That would Mr.
Miyagi?
Miyagi.
Oh, no. Miyagi was with the Karate Kid, the other guy with the feathered back hair.
Oh, the blonde-haired guy.
Yeah, Sensei. Oh, Sensei was a bad dude.
Yeah, that's very valid.
And the Cobra Kai's, if they come out, then you got something.
Then you've really got yourself a storyline. Sean texting in, this is exactly the analogy I was looking for. It feels like Donovan Bailey versus Michael Johnson, 150 meters. Remember where they had to meet in the middle?
That's not bad.
That's what it kind of feels like.
Michael Johnson pulled the chute.
Of course he did, and it was hyped up like, this is the biggest race ever, the two fastest guys in the world. Yeah. This will be hyped up as the two baddest guys in the world, and that turned into be an embarrassing event because Donovan Bailey smoked him, and I think Mayweather will do the same thing.
They filled the Sky Dome for that?
Yeah, it was at the Dome, and I don't know if they sold out, but there were a lot of people. I remember watching it on TV. It was
I watched it, too, and then Johnson pulled the chain right about as soon as he realized, oh, that other guy's really fast, he just pulled the chain, and that was it at about 75 meters.
Oh, one of the bigger bail jobs in sports history. And Bailey gave it to him after the
race. Well, he's not hurt. He's a chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
He went at him.
Like, he should have, because he knew that he was going to lose, and that was it. Like, oh, blew a hammy or whatever. He came up lame.
Would you do that if you were in the same situation?
First of all, pull up?
Yeah, would you bail on it?
I'd get destroyed.
Oh, I would make it look way worse. I would fall down.
Yeah, drop and
stretcher.
You'd need the Medano out of there.
Imagine getting stretchered out of a dome.
And a couple of dum-dums drop you on the stretcher halfway through.
I would make sure I hit my head on the track, too, on the way down.
Oh, my goodness!
That would be
but
great.
But could you imagine? So you actually think, you know, okay, I can win this or whatever. And you, I mean, they must know pretty quickly, uh-oh, I'm in trouble here.
I did it against Jonas.
Yeah, that was... that. All, had you pulled up lame there, oh, that could have been the same thing.
That's what I should have done against Jonas. Grab my hammy.
For those not familiar, Jeff O'Neill and Jonas Siegel raced in the hallway down here at TSN.
I saw it. I saw it online.
Honestly, he is the fastest human on earth.
He's a rabbit.
He's 112 pounds.
Yeah.
Like he if you would have run into a headwind, though, oh, you would have beat him for sure. Jonas would have been like the cartoon going backwards.
He's a kite. All of a sudden, he just starts flying the other way. Yeah, Jonas is not the biggest guy, but he can motor, man. Short pace.
Now I know why he bunts in softball.
Yeah, he can get on base, and he can do damage when he gets there.
Yeah.
Speaking of Sam Rosen, the voice of the Rangers, news out of New York today that the Rangers have bought out Dan Girardi. And I don't think people are overly surprised. He's taken a lot of heat, man. He's really, like, you talk about the analytical community.
Yeah, the analytics guys are, I mean, he's probably either one or two behind Chris Russell. Would he be one or two, right?
That's oh, he's one. I think he's the leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah, he's the leader for abuse.
Yeah, they just pummel him. And so it's obviously Dan's fault that he signed a six-year contract for $5 million.
You should have turned that down.
Yeah, you know, an offer and got something a little more team friendly. So now, I mean, here's a guy that wasn't drafted, basically became a, you know, a, like kind of a backbone player, and then the game got fast on him. And so he's now overmatched in the matchups they had, they were trying to play him in. He's playing against top six forwards that he couldn't keep up with. So now they're going to buy him out. And they're, you know, this is all part of the Rangers trying to get younger and faster and different. Again, you know, I mean, like they've got to clear some salary out, so Girardi's part of the deal. Yet somebody's going to get Girardi. Someone will sign him, and you'll sign him for a 1-year deal at $800 because he's got still a bucket of money coming from the Rangers. And they're going to play him in their third pair, and they'll go, oh, you know what? He's a pretty good third pair defenseman. That's what I think is going to happen because he's not going to be playing against the same people, the same caliber of people that he was playing against in New York for the most part.
So you see him kind of as like a Roman Polak type situation?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely I do. Because, now don't forget, Roman, I think, doesn't Polak make $2 million?
Yeah, two and a half, wasn't it?
Yeah, Girardi's going to be way less than half of that.
Yeah, I think he starts over because he's playing with house money now. So you can, I don't think he would be a bad third pairing for anybody, including the Maple Leafs.
I agree. On a good team where you're not asking them to do too much, you're looking at 12 to 15 minutes, I believe he would be able to do that and do that in a really satisfactory way. I really do. He can't play in the top four. The guys are too fast for him. And so he gets caved in. And so whatever team signs him, the analytics are going to say that, wow, they signed this player that has these numbers which look terrible, and of course they are because he's playing in the wrong spot by a mile. And now the team that decides to sign him, if there is one, and I think there will be, they'll look at him, and they should look at him, in a completely different light.
It all comes down to how you move around on the ice now. If a team gets a sniff, and once again they watch the Penguins with the speed, I mean, Bob was talking about maybe Stepan being talked about. He ain't moving around that well out there either.
And no, but and so, oh, sorry, oh, sorry. I thought
go you ahead,
were,
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and so he, but they have to play him because of his salary.
Right.
They have to play him in a top two role. But what if, look what the year Toronto got out of Tyler Bozak.
Yeah.
This year. Like, didn't he look a lot different? Because they didn't ask him to do very much in comparison to what they were asking him to do before. Stepan and Bozak, to me, are very similar players.
Yeah, and Bozak makes four, and Stepan six. So We went from hating Bozak's contract to kind of thinking that's kind of where you're at.
Well, it's also the linemates you play with, right? Like Mitch Marner injected a lot of life into into those two linemates, JVR and Bozak. All of a sudden, it was like, wow, these guys are hopping. Actually, they passed it to Mitch, and Mitch made their lives a lot easier.
Ray, do you think, though, the Leafs will continue to do that next year, or do you think they might have a sniff at Marner with Matthews out of the gate?
Well, if they do, then... I think they like... Well, it appeared they like Nylander and Matthews a lot together. And I don't know why that would change. Because Babcock has said, right, they're not going to move Nylander to the middle. So unless they have some change of heart over the summer, I don't see much change.
Yeah,
other than
right.
if they get forced into something, or they make a move for a defenseman that costs them one of those top nine forwards.
Well, it's an interesting situation that New York finds themselves in. The Habs are in the news today because Bob McKenzie reporting that they're listening on Galchenyuk, and obviously they've determined he's a winger, not a centerman, and they need to focus on the center of the ice. And it feels like there's more smoke to that, more of a backstory in terms of how they really feel about him as a player and what he's going to bring. It is kind of deja vu, like the PK Subban stuff. It feels very similar to that,
right?
In terms of maybe where this is going and what's going to happen. But the Habs and the Rangers have been two teams in the East that, outside of a couple years where the Habs have just had blow up weird seasons that have fallen apart on them, they're both two teams with all world goalies, good players that just kind of get to the dance every year. You don't necessarily expect them to win a cup, but you expect them to be a playoff team. But now you look at where they are and how the Rangers are handling Girardi and Stepan, how the Habs are going to handle this offseason. I see those two teams as going backwards as opposed to going forwards. Like, how do you see it, Ray?
I do agree. You know those, there's a balance thing in the gym you slide back and forth on. And if your balance isn't right, you fall off one side. And that's kind of where I think both of those teams are. They've got this balance right now, but they know it's not good enough. So now they've got to slide back and forth and make a couple of moves. And while they're making these moves, their balance might get thrown right off. Like, both of those teams might end up way back. And it wouldn't take much. Like, what if the Canadiens trade Galchenyuk? What are they going to get back? It has to be a forward. It has to be somebody to provide offense. Yet you look at their defense, and Andrei Markov's not getting any younger. They're going to bring in Sergachev. I believe this year he'll be ready, out of junior to play. But do you like Yemelin? Do you like
Beaulieu?
Do you like Beaulieu? Do you like Ben?
I think that team's a mess.
I was just saying, I can't even get a picture of what they are. They got another year of Plekanec. He had his worst year in a dozen last year. What makes you think it's going to be great this year? Like, they're in a really precarious spot. The Rangers are trying to shed money like crazy so they can, complete this turnover of their team. But 2 years at six bones for Stepan is a big hit. So they got to find somebody that's interested in taking that. How do you do that?
Well, it's not easy. And the truth is, there's anxiety hanging over every team, regardless of what end of the spectrum you're on.
Well, I want to ask, Ray, if you were an owner of a team, Ray, what would be one rule you had for... Because mine would be... It would be something about bad contracts. I would have a certain amount. I'd give you one or something.
But what if you're the donkey who causes them? That's the problem.
But that's what I was saying about the anxiety. Yeah. Like, we were talking about the Leafs yesterday and how great of a situation they're in.
Right.
Yet there's a part of every fan that's like... They're gonna sign someone they shouldn't sign. It's coming. Yeah. They're gonna give some guy. They're gonna sign Shattenkirk, and he'll be brutal in 2 years.
I'm telling you, Shattenkirk is not. He might be in for a bit of a wait because.
But aren't they? They're already linking Shattenkirk to the Rangers. That's why they're clearing this Girardi money.
Right.
But see, if teams didn't watch Shattenkirk close enough this year,
he was awful in the playoffs.
Yeah, they may overpay big on him. My rule I would want to stick to is 5 years for a contract.
I agree.
You start dragging out these things 7 and sometimes to 8 years, and the potential, like, for a disaster is pretty great in a lot of those cases. I don't think the Leafs are, I don't think the Leafs are even in the ballpark of making a bad signing, because they got, and they're forced into this thinking, is that they've got too much money they got to lay out in the very near future to those young kid forwards. And they can't bring in a big dollar contract, because it's, that means they're going to have to pitch one of those young forwards away, and there's no chance that's happening.
Yeah, it's so true. The fact,
I mean,
that these guys
get forced into good decisions.
Right. And I think what really benefits them, Ray, is that the three of them all played the rookie years together, and they all had a big impact. So they all made the point right off the hop, like, hey, put the money aside down the road. Like, it's not like one kind of is just back and forth between the Leafs and Marlies, and we think he's got potential, like the Drouin situation, where for a while there, you knew he was a great talent, but you really didn't know when he was going to break out, if he was going to break out. Marner, Nylander, and Matthews made it abundantly clear, like, they're ready to play, and they're ready to rock, and they're impactful players right off the hop.
It's so rare to see that. And so now, because the dollars are what they are, or the dollars available are what they are, you know, they're sitting in there, and they, you know, before, the managers used to have that big board in the room with all their depth at their positions, and they'd have their contracts beside them. You know, I've been in the office and seen those things when I was playing. You always used to look over the GM's shoulder. Every once in a while, they wouldn't have the door closed over top of it, and you could see where you were on the depth chart, and sometimes it wasn't a very good picture, but you try and nose around there. So now they've got those things, and they lay out the contracts through the next half dozen years. And it's far more complicated than it used to. In our day, it was just, what's your contract in the next year or two? Because it didn't matter. Nobody made any money. Now the decisions you might want to make, you can't. So that's why this draft over the next week is going to be so fascinating to me, because George McPhee has an opportunity that nobody ever, ever gets. And that's to be a new general manager with nothing behind you. There's no names on the board behind you. Every GM that takes over, you've got to clean up a mess that's there. They didn't fire the previous GM because he was doing a great job. You've got to clean up the mess that's sitting there. George has a chance to build a culture, build a vision for the team, build a player pool, build a prospect pool, because they don't have any of it. And so teams are going to try and dump their contracts there. Maybe George takes them and flips them somewhere else for a prospect and a pick, and I think it's going to be really fascinating. And these names that are out there now are all going to be part of it. They're all going to be in the discussions of, is there going to be a three-way deal between Team A, Vegas, and Team B? You know, like that. I think we're going to see four or five of those for sure. I think this is going to be great theater over the next couple weeks.
I agree. It's going to be amazing. We haven't even brought up Erik Karlsson having a surgery. That's
out for 4 months.
4 months. That's it's obviously a big blow, but he's going to have plenty of time to get back. But
I didn't even know that. Is that on his foot?
It's just it's saying left foot, some tendon cleaned up. So
that's July, August, September. So he's not back till November 1st.
That's also tendons and an Achilles on the same ankle. But he's such a freak. He'll just come back.
Yeah,
and
this guy was.
That's the thing. I'll bet you. I wouldn't be shocked if he plays
home
opening
opener.
Night.
Skates once, and plays home opener.
Yeah, and best player.
Played 27 minutes
with a smile on his face. Like, that's the scary part about this guy.
So now that also makes the FNUF and the no move clause and the expansion and Mathot and CC. It makes it all more complicated, and it's a lot going on in Pierre Dorion's office, isn't it?
No kidding. Not to mention, I guess, Chris Neal, they've told him, like, we're moving on.
He's 37.
Yeah, which is not a shock, but he's the longest tenured player.
Tough for him, because he was probably like, hey, I could do it one more year, and they're like, no, you're not.
Not going to work for us.
Yeah. That's Alex Burrow's money right there.
Yeah.
That's what they gave him, a two-year extension. He's 2 years younger. That's Alex Burrow's, his deal right there.
Can't do both.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be careful. There's no doubt about that. Good stuff, buddy. I think we're going to catch up with you again, when? On Monday?
On Monday, yeah. I got a couple of things I got to take care of this week, Thursday and Friday. They might involve my golf club.
Yeah, I figured they might. And watching the U.S. Open. What a shock.
Oh, gee, is that this weekend, too? Yeah, okay.
Put it in your calendar.
By the way, I have a buddy who, what he asks for Father's Day every year is his family to get out of the house so he can watch the Sunday round in peace.
That's a true father right there.
I'm like, I love my family. Get out.
That's a patriarch. That's a guy who knows how to run a household.
I love Dan Murphy.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, it could
exactly.
be. Exactly.
I love Murph.
Can't confirm or deny.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Enjoy it.
All right,
it.
Boys. We'll talk to you Monday.
All right, there's Ray Ferraro joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days are now on with 0% financing and lease rates on the Corolla and RAV4. Visit mapletoyota.ca. Yeah, I mean, the more you think about it, the situation the Leafs are in with the fact that they don't really have too many grenades on the roster that they have to worry about. They still have Lupul for another year, but they're going to just bury him. And he's not going to show up, and they're not worried about it.
Put it this way, 18 months from now, they're not going to have...
They're not worried really about anything.
And they're not going to make... I agree with Ray. They're not going to make a mistake this summer. So I just don't think they're going to.
I think there's a chance, then, we got to brace ourselves for them not doing anything.
Right.
And if that happens, I mean, with the exception of a signing here or there, but that is low rent, like maybe right. bring Pollock back or maybe Girardi on a one-year deal or something like that.
Right.
But if that happens, you know, the Leafs are going to have to get out in front of this and educate the fan base on why it's happening. Like, hey, we can't spend this money because you don't want to see the alternative where we do have to trade Nylander or Connor Brown or whatever, but because those guys are going to get paid 2 or 3 years down the road.
I wouldn't mind it one bit. This team made the playoffs with on a group that, I don't want to say overachieved, but got to where a little quicker where we thought they were going to be. And they've got a defensive core. You just saw Pittsburgh. I know everyone's going to draw the correlations to, but Zaitsev another year, Riley another year, Gardner another year. You got to see who's coming in the minors. Like these couple kids in the Marlies, and we had Lou on our show, what was that, 6 weeks ago, and he said, got my eye on at least one of them. So now all of a sudden you've got a guy that pushes through from the Marlies. This group doesn't need too much nipping and tucking because I don't think they think they're Stanley Cup finalists next year. Maybe that's something that they can achieve, but I think it's a 2 or 3 year plan, so why go out and blow your brains out on trying to push that ahead? Allow it to happen organically. They did this year. Now you've got the same coach, the same young guys, just with another year under their belt. Like I think.
Well, and wait until next year. Maybe a bigger name comes up on free agency, or a different name shows up,
or somebody's available at the deadline, or available because of something. Like
it's the Vegas thing, though. People are looking at Vegas and they're expecting activity, and it's right, like, okay, right. Take advantage now while you can. Patrick Patterson will join us of the Raptors coming up just after 6 p.m. Brian McCabe, one of our favorites, friend of the show at 6:30. And the fight is on between McGregor and Mayweather. And Conor McGregor sent out a tweet already. We'll tell you about that. We'll get to Jerry's next. Time now for a News Talk 1010 traffic and weather update brought to you by Big Rig Brewery. They put a modern twist on a traditional spring lager, bringing you the Hop in Maibach featuring punchy tropical notes that'll make you sing. BigRigBrewery.ca. Here's Adjura.
New issues to jam up your drive home on the westbound 403 just west of here, Ontario, through the Mississauga collision in the left lane. Slowdowns from the 401. Now, westbound QEW just past the 427. Stalled vehicle has that right lane blocked. No issues on the DVP Gardner or the 401. Up in Vaughan, southbound Keel is still closed between Highway 7 to north of the 407. For a collision investigation and a fire investigation as Weston Road closed from a habitat over to Bradstock Road. For tonight, a few clouds and a low of 14. For tomorrow, some sun and cloud, a 60% chance of showers in the afternoon and a high of 24. The Lexus three-day event, June 15th through to the 17th. Enjoy a 1.5% rate reduction and up to $4,000 in F-Sport credits. See your Lexus dealer. From the News Talk 1010 Traffic Center, I'm Adjua and CIA Bois.
Get liked or blocked by the O-Dog.
I block 100 people every day.
Tweet your opinions to the boys on Overdrive at TSN 1050 Radio. And come on, man, seriously?
Have an idea.
I can call you Betty. Betty, when you call me, you can call me out.
A man walks down the street. He says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention. And all my nights are so long.
So the fight is on. McGregor, Mayweather. August 26th, Conor McGregor's already sent out a tweet saying it's on, and he posted a picture of himself and Floyd Mayweather Sr., who is quite weathered. And I guess McGregor is insinuating that he's going to beat up on this old guy. How about Floyd Mayweather Sr.?
I'm telling you, That's Floyd Mayweather Sr.?
I wouldn't mess with that guy. He's a former boxer, too.
This guy looks like, yeah, something else.
Does he not look like he's been in a few fights and lost a few fights?
Yeah, like his... He's got some damage done there.
Mm-hmm. So what are you saying again? Conor McGregor, the pic he posted?
That's Floyd Mayweather's father. That's not... You know the trolling's immediately on.
These two guys cannot shut up. Like, they can't stop yapping. Their press conference is going to be the most obnoxious press conference in sports history. Mayweather and McGregor.
But it is, like Ray said, it must be, it's must follow, right? You've got to watch it.
I'm watching it. Man Cave, happening.
For sure.
Buying my place. Come on over.
What date is it?
August 26th. Pencil it in, man. Saturday night. Get some Old Tomorrow craft beer, a couple two-for-one pizzas, maybe some best Portuguese chicken.
Ooh,
how's that sound? A little BPC for the boys on August 26th.
You know it. We need another shipment, man.
I need a lot of best Portuguese chicken.
Well, whatever it is, this Friday, let's get a feed bag in here.
You talk about a first impression. I had not had it before they sent up a shipment.
Yeah, but the potatoes.
Outstanding.
That's the problem.
Outstanding.
Yeah. The potatoes
the
got lost.
That stole the potatoes.
Yeah, lost Troy. In translate.
Yeah.
Or transit.
Somehow the Portuguese potatoes disappeared.
I forgot to go to my car to get the potatoes.
Really?
And he had a lather on.
Oh,
just dove in and
just a fistful after fistful. That's for probably sure. Rock bottom in terms of, well, no, I guess there's a lot worse you could do, but just eating like little potato dumplings. By the handful,
in
you
got to
be in a tough spot. In your car.
On the DVP.
No AC.
On the way up here.
Just bloated mess.
For sure.
You're just a disaster. Jerry's Percentages is brought to you by our friends at BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken. From two people to 300, let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking for you. 942 The Queensway, bestpc.ca.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's Percentages.
No, keep the booing.
Are we having fun yet?
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
All right, we all know the way this works. G-E-R-R-Y. He checks in every Wednesday. Bunch of hot takes. We place a percentage on the likelihood of them actually happening. Okay. You guys ready?
Ready.
Ready.
Next June, for the third straight year, I will walk on the ice and say this. Sidney Crosby, come and get the Stanley Cup.
And I'll weasel away like the weasel I am.
So Jerry's calling for a three-peat in the NHL.
Wow.
A three-peat.
80%.
No.
Stop it. That's honestly an awful percentage.
No. I honestly think there's a chance they're saying to themselves, we can retool a little bit. We won the cup without our best defenseman.
But you're losing the goalie.
Yeah, you don't have insurance anymore.
You don't have
Fleury...
you don't have a
anyway, that's my blanket. Opinion. Go ahead, do your own percentage.
All right. 5%.
That's a joke percentage right there.
I just don't see how it's possible. A team hadn't repeated in 20 years. Now we're going to see our first three-peat in almost 40 years. Think about it, man. Just probability alone, it's a grind to win 16 games in the spring.
Yeah.
I just, something's going to happen where they're going to run into a freight train.
I want to say 16%, but I'm going to say 3%.
You're lower than I am, so
yes.
Give him an ear.
The only reason I'm doing it is because I want to win the Jerry's.
Yeah, I know.
And no, I'll go with my instinct. 16%, and the reason being is not only the three-peat, their roster's going to change. And last year you won it with three goalies. This year you won it with two goalies, and one of them's going out the door. Matt Murray is a good young goaltender, but I worry about his durability because he's a slight guy.
Is that Condon a free agent, unrestricted free agent? I would go right back to him and get him back.
Yeah, I mean he wouldn't be a bad option, but keep in mind, would Mike Condon beat the Washington Capitals? That's the
no way.
Like that's the thing. We forget Marc-Andre Fleury beat the Washington Capitals. Game 7 shutout on the road. Like this guy was brilliant. There were games where Pittsburgh had no business being in the game, and the goalie stole it.
Three-peats just don't happen.
Okay.
They just don't happen.
Jason Grilli will not finish the season on the Jays roster.
No more grilled cheese. Just some crumbs on a plate.
Just some crumbs on a plate. That's a gutless comment
it is.
From Jerry. I mean, we all like Jason Grilli. He gets fired up after big strikeouts. And,
yeah.
But I'll tell you what, he's in a tough, tough spot.
I think he's right on 50%, man, if he can make it or not. He is running on fumes out there. And that's the problem with the older guy that fires up the crowd. You take the risk of bringing him back. There was one game where I text you, and I'm like, this guy doesn't just look right, man. And he went in there, his arm looked like a spaghetti string.
Well, he has thrown a couple on a tee for the opponent.
He's had a couple.
It's like his back stiffening up a little bit. He can't bend over, and he is throwing some pizza.
He wants to get fired up, you know what I mean? Like it's like Elvis when he was in Vegas.
Yeah.
Like it's just not
the fat Elvis?
Yeah, it's not Elvis. Like he's up there, he's doing his thing, but that ain't Elvis, man.
Right, yeah.
Jason Grilli's he's in Vegas right now.
So where are you at?
49%, just a little bit under. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt by 1%, but I don't love his chances of being on the roster by the end of September.
So I think he'll still be there.
All right.
I think he'll.
Sometimes with an older guy like that that's performing like that, you gotta make it go away.
You're right, but I think he's gonna redeem himself.
Really?
I feel like he's a guy who's gonna grind and grind. So I need a higher number, correct?
No, you'd be lower because Jerry's saying he won't be.
Oh, okay. So 22%.
All right.
The Maple Leafs will sign a free agent this summer that will make more than $3.5 million per season.
Probably send him to Robida Island when the guy turns into a plug.
The last part is 100% true. But more than 3.5. 3.5 is like kind of that middle number now in the NHL.
Yeah.
I'll say 60% they'll sign a guy for over that.
Wow.
I'm all right with money. It's just term, right? So if it's a one-year deal at $4 million.
By the way, 3.5, that's just a good player.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be a star. That's the going rate for a third-line player.
Well, what do you think Chris Russell's going to get paid?
Around that.
He'll get over 3.5, though.
Okay.
Because there'll be a couple teams that'll be in.
Because the Leafs might kick tires on him. There were reports they were kicking tires on him a year
ago. Yeah, I'm going to say it's a higher number because if you give somebody a two-year deal at $4 million, if it doesn't work out, I know it's a lot of money, but it's not really in the big scheme, the grand scheme of things. Chris Russell, I think, is going to get a touch over 3.5. So I don't even know if the Leafs would be, I don't see him here, but maybe he is. Carl Alsner is another guy that could probably fetch a lot more than 3.5.
All right.
And that name has been bandied about. So I'm going to go 87%.
All right, I'm going to go lower than you guys.
Yeah.
I think they might trade for a guy who will make more than that, but signing a free agent at more than 3.5 per.
Yeah, I thought about that,
I'm
too.
I'm not sure about that.
Acquiring, through Vegas or through somebody else, taking some money off their books.
Well, Jerry's saying July 1st they're going to start spending some money. I'm lower. I'll say 25%. Okay. I'll leave the door open a little bit, but 25%.
Golden State will go 16-0 in the playoffs next season.
Nice league you've got there, Adam Silver. You poser. Jerry's the man.
Jerry calling him a poser. It's an interesting comment. 16-0 for the Warriors next year in the playoffs.
45%?
1%. 1%.
1%?
Yeah.
Would you say?
45.
46%.
You think they're going to go?
They just went 15-1. I think Cleveland, with LeBron a year older, they went 16-1. Yeah, they went 16-1 with LeBron a year older.
LeBron's going to change his team around. I'm telling you right now.
Well, they're just showing highlights. Would you trade Kevin Love for Paul George?
I would do that.
That's going to be the routine. They're going to say they got Durant. We got to add that one other guy.
They're going to get. I'm telling you right now. They are going to. He's going to load up. He's pissed off.
He might, but it's tough, man. Like, Cleveland's a very good team.
They are.
Like, how much better do you really expect them to get? And Golden State's just going to be the same team, only another year, that much more familiar, and that's what they'll be chasing is 16-0.
If Cleveland didn't crap one off, they would have had two against them.
They would have, but
so, all I'm
candies
saying is,
and nuts.
All you're just saying 16-0.
16-0.
All
saying,
I need is one loss.
You're right.
So
absolutely.
The odds are on.
Of course,
my...
historically, it's never happened before.
Right,
but this Golden State Warriors team is not normal. That's
right.
What I'm saying.
The Mayweather-McGregor superfight will gross more pay-per-view buys than the Pacquiao-Mayweather fight.
That was the Colorado Avalanche of fights, and it still made millions.
It was the Avalanche of fights. It was a brutal fight, but they made a fortune. Do you guys think this one will make even more?
Yeah, 100%.
I do, 100%.
I'm 100%.
You guys are both 100.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
We're casual fan. Like, I'm not even a casual fan, and I'm watching it. Like, I know I'd watch it for sure, but, like, Ray's like,
being
I've never
a new
bought
flyer
one
again, I might go to it.
You might fly into Vegas?
You win?
I could sniff around on that.
Really?
Noodles?
Of course.
We maybe that could be, last year we did Toronto a week before we kicked off the shows again. Maybe we do Vegas to really get Overdrive rocking again.
Here's the thing. How are we getting in that building?
Well, getting in is a different story, but.
We got connections for that. We got one more?
We'll save it. Let's do
Just do it quick.
No. We'll do it in the next hour because it's a good one.
Okay.
It's
Sounds
a Phil good. Kessel one. Oh. We'll save Phil for the TV hour. All right?
Sounds good.
Patrick Patterson may be joining us. We'll see what happens. But Brian McCabe will at 6:30.
Nice. New promotion. We'll see if there's any future plastic surgery for him.
I like it.
Maybe hair plugs.
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.
I can call you Betty. Betty, when you call me.
Brian McCabe will join us in about 40 minutes. He's got a new title, new gig down in Florida. The super fight is on, McGregor v. Mayweather at the end of August. So it's on in terms of the Overdrive guys finding a way to get tickets. We need to get in the building.
Yeah.
Don't forget, O-Dog Noodles and I are gearing up for the Scotiabank Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer Tournament September 23rd at Woodbine. Visit tsn1050.ca to make a donation on behalf of Team Overdrive. For every $20, you'll be entered to win roster spots on the team for you and a friend. All proceeds go to the Princess Margaret Cancer Center. So Brian McCabe will join us. We'll get back into the fight, get back into the news and notes throughout the NHL, and the Jays back in action tonight. Man, they could use a win. After just getting smoked, Marco Estrada was... He was sloppy last night.
And Harris.
Yeah, he's...
But still feels good about his game.
Of course, man. That's always the way it should be. I appreciate that.
I do, too.
One more guy on the DL, Ezekiel Carrera. Thanks for coming out. Fractured foot. So we'll touch on the Jays as well. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.